Mr. Billy Hunter of the Baltimore Orioles. It's taking place at 4 o'clock Monday afternoon on the 28th of April, 2003.
One of them is back in hometown of Indiana, Pennsylvania, and another one is out in California. And I haven't seen either one of them for 4 or 5 years. And my wife is from the same western Pennsylvania. In fact, the neat thing about my wife is on February the 2nd, what does February 2nd mean?
Groundhog's Day, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Right, all right. Well, I was born in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, but my wife's cousin is the handler of the groundhog.
Oh, cool.
The one that wears the tall hat, right. And so you've probably seen.
That's cool.
But he's traveled all around. He was on Oprah's show out in Chicago with the groundhog bit Oprah.
Oh, what it did.
Yeah. And he was in when the new governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Ridge, took over the September 11th thing. He's the new director of security or whatever it is. He was the governor of Pennsylvania, and they had the groundhog within his inaugural parade. So, but that has nothing to do with baseball. Let's go.
Well, I was going to ask you a question about it anyway.
Yeah,
so
we're
going
to slip that in. Well, I'm Punxsutawney Bill, not Punxsutawney Bill.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I guess I'll start with a question. What started your interest in baseball, and how did you get started?
Well, I had a couple of uncles that played in amateur, semi-pro, really for a coal mining town back in western Pennsylvania. And when I was old enough to walk, we were watching them play, and I always wanted to play myself. I ended up playing three sports in high school and college. And, baseball was the one that became my profession, but they thought that was my third best sport. At any rate, I went away to a spring training camp when I was a junior in high school. And this was during the Second World War. That time they could sign players that hadn't graduated from high school and so forth. I was offered a contract, but I wanted to play other sports as well, and so I went on through the high school to a year and a half of college, and left at semester time to go to spring training with the then Brooklyn Dodgers.
We've been reading about them, Boys of Summer.
Yeah.
Well, the Brooklyn Dodgers, I was one of the heir apparent successors to Pee Wee Reese. There were only about 12 or 13 of us that were trying to take his position. And in those days, there were only 16 major league clubs. 8 in the National League and 8 in the American League. And the Brooklyn Dodgers had 21 farm teams, minor league teams, that all the players belonged to the Dodgers. Now this was before free agency and that kind of stuff, you know. At any rate, I went to spring training in 1948 in Vero Beach, Florida.
We learned about that.
Yeah.
Branch Rickey set up
his pitching obsession.
Right. Yeah. Well, I have that year they took a Life magazine had the cover was taken from when we do our calisthenics and it shows the whole part of the mass 540 some players. I bet all belong to the Brooklyn Dodgers. And you talk about having a rude awakening. You know, I thought I was the best athlete that ever put on a pair of shoes until I got to Vero Beach and saw it looked like 500 and some better than I was, you know. But my last 2 years, I roomed with Don Zimmer, who was still coaching with the Yankees now. Don and I were both shortstops and both looking to be. And we had Jim Pendleton and Chico Carrascal, who later was sold to the White Sox. They later sold me to the Browns. Zimmer finally did make it to the Dodgers, but it's a long trek. And I got married my second year, 1949, and I'm coming back walking. We had no money, no automobile, no. We're walking back from we had a room at Kitchen Privileges with a widow lady in Nashua, New Hampshire. And we're walking from the park back home after, and I had gone hitless in the game, and my batting average was .235. And I said to my wife, I might as well quit. I said, I'll never get to the major leagues hitting .235. I said, now wait a minute. When you quit college to become a professional baseball player, didn't you tell me that it would take 4 or 5 years to get to the major leagues? I said, yeah. She said, and this is what, your second year, is that right? I said, okay.
Okay, our next question is, what did your family think about your pursuing baseball as a career?
Well, my mom and dad both thought it was, you know, they thought I was a major leaguer from the time I was about 15, I guess. So, but they thought it was going to be a lot easier than it was.
Okay.
So they were very supportive, and my wife, I couldn't have made it without my wife, mm-hmm. because. She went through the minor league system with me, and a lot of people don't realize that it's that other part of your family that really has the sacrifices to make.
Right.
You know, it's all, you just pack your bag and get on the bus or the airplane or whatever and go and check into a hotel and two or three days later, you check out and check into another hotel, and it's easy for that part of it if you're getting some hits,
right.
You know. But they have all the other things, and then when the children start coming along, why, that makes it a little bit more difficult.
This was on the list, but you said your uncles played. Were they in the majors?
No, they didn't play professionally. They just played in and around and it was more weekend stuff. And I played on three different teams when I was 16, on three different baseball teams. So I was playing almost every day, and that's the big difficulty. Going from amateur ball into professional ball. Most amateur teams play 3-4 times a week if they're playing a lot. But in organized or professional baseball, you're playing every day. And weekends sometimes double it. And if I know after my playing days were over, and I managed the rookie league team for the Orioles in Bluefield, West Virginia for a couple of years. And the biggest obstacle that those young men have to overcome is playing every day. And you can't, you know, how sometimes you get up when you win and you get down when you lose and so forth. Well, you can't do that in baseball because, you know, you'd be yo-yoing all through the week because it's an everyday thing. And, anyway, next question.
What was one of your most memorable moments of baseball?
Well, there were a lot of them, but the one that I usually, I was a member of the Yankee team when Don Larsen pitched his perfect game in the World Series in 1956. I wasn't playing, I was just sitting on the bench, but that's something that has never happened before and it might not ever happen again. A perfect game is a rarity in itself, but to do it in a World Series is something extra special. I wasn't a real good hitter, and I didn't have a whole lot of power. In fact, I only had 16 home runs in the major leagues. But I had two in one night off Early Wynn, who Early Wynn is a Hall of Fame pitcher that used to win 20 games with regularity. Anyway, I was playing for Kansas City at the time. My first time up, I hit a home run off and put us ahead 1-0. They went ahead 2-1. My next time up, I hit a home run with a man on base. It put us ahead 3-2, and they tied it 3-3, and I came up in the ninth inning with the bases loaded, one man out, and I looked down the third base coach has a suicide squeeze on him. The squeeze is a bunt with, and the reason they call it a suicide squeeze is the runner leaves as the pitcher is pitching, and it's up to the batter to get the ball on the ground. If the batter gets the ball on the ground, there's no way they can throw the guy out of home plate because he's running towards home plate when the pitch is coming into the batter. Now there's a safety squeeze that the runner waits to see if the ball gets down, but on the suicide, that's why they call it the suicide squeeze. If the batter doesn't do his job, the runner's out because he's going to be right there in front of home plate when the catcher catches the ball.
Oh, okay. Out of all the major league teams you played for, which one's your favorite?
Well, the Yankees. I was with the Yankees for 2 years, and we were in the World Series both years. So, as a player, you want to be in the World Series. When I coached with the Orioles for 13 and a half years, and we were in the World Series in 66, we were in the World Series in 69, we were in the World Series in 70, we were in the World Series in 71, and so it was kind of nice. And the 66 series, we beat the Dodgers 4 straight. The last 3 games were shutouts. They didn't score a run in the last, and that was Jim Palmer and Dave McNally and Walt Bunker. Paul Blair was catching balls all over the ballpark. And it was, it was kind of a neat series. The neat thing about it was we opened the series in Los Angeles. We flew into Los Angeles and worked the first game of the series. And the sports editor for the Los Angeles paper name was Bob Hunter. Anyway, headlines in his paper are Hunter picks Dodgers in 4. Now, naturally, that headline was in the architect my locker when we got to when we got to the thing. But anyway, it worked out fine.
Do you have any regrets about your career? Anything you've done?
So yeah, there are a couple things. The one regret I have is being in the 56 World Series and not playing. I was with the Yankees and didn't even get to pinch run or anything like that. Now, I was very pleased that we won and everything like that, but as most athletes are, most of them don't like to sit on the bench. And the Yankees sent me out in 1955, the year before, in August, they sent me to Denver because I was the only one of two players that could be optioned out, and they had a chance to get Enos Slaughter from the St. Louis Cardinals to be eligible for the World Series. Well, I had already played 98 games at shortstop. And I had just come off a road trip where I was 14 for 28 on the trip. And we were playing Cleveland in a game in Yankee Stadium on a Thursday afternoon. And Casey Stengel took me out for a pinch hitter in the sixth inning. And called me in and said, "Bill, I'm sending you to Denver." You're not. And he says, "Well," he says, we have a chance to get you to Slaughter, and you're one of two players. And the funny thing, you'll appreciate this, both of you. Nelson Howard was our only black player on the Yankee team. And he was the other player that could be optioned out. And he really wasn't playing a whole lot. I was playing every day. But they felt that they could not option Elston Howard out, being as he was our only black player. So I ended up going to Denver. And I was there 2 weeks. I broke my leg. And went to the 55 World Series with a cast on my leg up to here. Laying there, and I slid, tried the silly slide in the second base to throw my feet away and go in with my hand, and my front spike caught in the ground, and I slid right over my leg, and it just turned, my toes were coming out back here, and it was broken here, and here, and here, three different places, and I thought, so they put me on the disabled list for a while. And I ended up playing the last month of the season almost regularly, but came World Series time. I didn't get in the game. That was nice.
What do you think of baseball today?
Well, I think that a whole lot of people making a whole lot of money. And, I think the parks are smaller. The athletes are stronger. They work at staying in shape year round. I think it's kind of watered down a little bit in that there are so many teams, and probably not enough pitching to get the good hitters out. And then, especially a couple of years ago, when McGuire and Sosa were hitting home runs every day, the the strike zone got so small that, it, you know, if they didn't throw it within this little area here, it was a ball. And when they did throw it in there, guys were strong enough to hit it out of the ballpark. So I think that a whole lot of people are making a whole lot of money, and I can't relate to that because my first year in the major leagues was 1953, and the minimum salary was $5,000. Minimum salary now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like $250,000 now, you know. And you can't say that, of course, in those days you could buy an automobile for $3,500 too. So I guess it's all wrong.
Do you think skill-wise the players are better now? Or
I think there are players that have better skill. I overall, I wouldn't say they're better. I would say that there are players that are playing now that are more skillful than the skillful players when I was playing. I had the good Mickey Mantle was in center field when I was with the Yankees. And Yogi Berra was the catcher. But you look at the Yankees are, 20-5 right now today?
Yeah.
And they don't even have Jeter playing.
Yeah.
Jeter's not even in the lineup, and they're 20-5.
Yeah.
So, they have a good team.
What are some memorable players, maybe from the Orioles or other teams?
Well, when I was coaching, we came here from St. Louis. Bob Turley and Don Larson was part of the Browns team that came here, and then the three of us were traded to the Yankees in a 17-player trade. It was like trading teams. Gus Triangus and Gene Woodling and Willie Miranda and Hal Smith and some others came from the Yankees when we went to. But I played in St. Louis and Baltimore with Vern Stevens was a fellow that hit 20, 30 home runs every year, broke in 100 or 150 runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a good player. Ted Williams was still playing for the Boston Red Sox. Of course, as I said, Mantle was. Williams was the first player to make $100,000. Now he had the misfortune of being in the service twice. He was in the Second World War, and then he was in the Korean War, and missed that time. But still was probably the best left-handed hitter ever. You know, you have Barnes and you have Sosa, there's those kind of guys around today.
Out of any of those guys, was any one particular person a big influence to you in baseball? Or did you have a big influence baseball-wise?
Well, the funny thing about it was when I was growing up, my idol was Marty Marion, who was the shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. He ended up being my first major league manager. And in Western Pennsylvania, my home was about 50 and 60 miles from Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh was the closest town for us to see major league baseball. And my dad used to, every time the Cardinals would come to Pittsburgh, my dad would take me to see them play because Marion was my idol. Anyway, but I was trying to get Pee Wee Reese's job. But in fact, Marty was our manager, was active. He was active until I got there. He didn't play any longer after I got there. But, he's a pretty sweet fielding shortstop.
What are some of the hardest pitchers you've ever faced?
The hardest pitcher I ever faced was a fellow by the name of Frank Larry. L-A-R-Y. He had a brother in Major Leagues too. And he pitched for the Detroit Tigers. And he had a slider. A slider is a pitch that looks like a fastball till it gets right to the plate and then it does this. And I'm always swinging at it when it's there instead of when it's there. I just felt helpless when he was pitching. But, you know, there were a lot of good pitchers pitching at that time, but he was the one that gave, as I said, he made me feel helpless. And thank goodness we only played him, so, you know, he maybe only pitched against us three or four times a year, so that didn't hurt too much.
Do you feel you had, what was your greatest achievement in baseball?
Well, I guess at the time, becoming a major leaguer. And then my first year, I was in the All-Star game. I was selected to be in the All-Star. Now, I pinch ran for Mickey Mantle in the 53 All-Star game. As I said, being in the World Series was an achievement, and I was the third base coach for the American League in the 71 All-Star game in Detroit. That's the day Reggie Jackson hit the transformer up on the light tower over the roof of the stadium, and it was going up.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't this. It was on its way up. There's a great story with Preston Gomez was the third base coach for the National League Club. And the American League Club had the third base dugout. And in Detroit, the third base dugout is not much further from here to the curtain from the dugout. So in the third inning, the National League had already hit three home runs. And we were behind. And Preston comes running over. And I'm sitting there. And he was in the Dodger organization when I was. Bill, how are you? And I said, I'm fine, Preston. But tell me, what's that sign you're using for the home run, you know? He goes like this. As luck would have it, we in the American League hit three home runs in that inning. One of them being Reggie Jackson's that hit the transformer. And when he came down the next inning to the third, I said, Preston, I really want to thank you. I might have gone the whole night without knowing what that was, you know, the home run sign, if it were that easy.
What did you do after Major League Baseball?
Well, after playing, I coached with the Orioles, and then I managed the Texas Rangers for a couple of years. And then I came to Towson University as their baseball coach. And I did that until, well, in 1984, they named me the athletic director. And I tried to do both jobs for a year, and that didn't work. I didn't do well with either one. So I named my assistant the baseball coach. He's still the baseball coach. And I would have rather named him the athletic director instead. But that was in 85, I guess. when I retired in 95. So, you know, I retired twice, kind of. I went to Towson as a, hoping to be a semi-retired baseball coach. But it worked out that way for a while until our athletic director died very suddenly. Searches. And in the second search, they asked me to be the interim athletic director while they were looking for it. And I told them that I would do that with the understanding that I would not be the athletic director. I shouldn't have said that, because evidently that made them want me to be the athletic director more. But it worked out fine. We had some good clubs and went to the NCAAs in two or three sports.
Okay, I have one last question. I understand you're good friends with Mr. Dick Hall. Could you tell me a little bit about your guys' relationship?
Well, he was a relief pitcher with the Orioles when I was coaching. Now, prior to that, Dick was my last year as a player. He pitched for Salt Lake City when I was playing for San Diego. And we were in the same league. But funny thing about it, Brooks Robinson was in the same league too. He was playing at Vancouver, and Ronnie Hansen and Chuck Estrada and Wes Stock, and practically the whole Oriole Club was in Vancouver at the time. But that's when I first, I guess the first time I saw Dick was in 1953. My first year in the major leagues, on one of our off days, we played the Pittsburgh Pirates, an exhibition game in Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. And as I said, that's very close to my hometown, and they had a Bill Hunter night. My hometown did. And they gave me a shotgun and a movie camera and a suitcase and a bunch of nice stuff. And Dick was playing the outfield for the Pirates. They had the O'Brien twins playing. They didn't have a very good ball club. We didn't either. But then later, my last year as a player, as I said, I was at San Diego, he was pitching in Salt Lake, and then when I became a coach, he was a relief pitcher with the Orioles all back the whole time I was a coach. So now I see him every Wednesday.
Yeah, you mentioned that. One of our... Another classmate of mine, I guess it was last week, Friday, or maybe today, I'm not sure.
He's a better golfer than I am.
Yeah, he mentioned that he goes golfing with you every Wednesday, so I had to stick that one in there.
Right. Well,
that's cool.
We're in the, it's called the Super Senior.
Oh, okay.
So you're talking Super Senior. Anyway, we play between 8 and 9 every Wednesday out of Longview. They pair up, Dick and I, all the time. But he hits the ball a ton. He plays pretty good. I think his handicap is maybe 11 or 12. And mine's an 18. So the last three holes, we always, we don't bet any money. We always play a match play the last three holes. And he doesn't give me any strokes. And lots of times we end up even, I'll win a hole, he'll win a hole, and we'll have a hole. It makes us feel good.
Well, that was all of our questions.
That was it.
The only other thing we wanted was we got three pictures.
Our teacher at our school remake renewal baseball cards.
Yeah, so
they sure did.
We would like an autograph. Yes,
And my teacher would like one as well.
Yes.
One of yours. He's like, make sure you get one for me.
No, you're going to have to tell me how to spell your first name.
Okay, I'm Tiffany.
T-I-F-F-A-N-Y.
Yeah, there you go.
Ariel, tell me how to do that.
A-R-I-E-L-L-E.